Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden here on a beautiful day here in Colorado on Friday, Party Friday.
Party Friday.
And we're brought to you by, as always,
AmericasCitizenPress.com, great conservative website, and Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan.
So everything is going just dandy for Republicans, generally speaking, across the country. I'm not sure that's true in Colorado, but certainly across the country, as the Democrats begin to panic about the Virginia gubernatorial election. The Fox poll, which is usually Democratic sympathetic, shows Youngkin up 8 points. Others show it neck and neck. But it'll be all Tuesday, and they're really pulling out all the stops, aren't they, Julie?
Yeah, they are. You know, this is sort of the focus of today's show. So for the past 4 years, the Democrats and their media co-conspirators have basically been promoting lies as truth and truth as lies. For instance, truth as lies, Hunter Biden laptop.
Russian information.
Yeah, I mean, that was the lie that they reported as truth. I mean, all of these things, and it's going on yet today. I don't know if you've seen, so Terry McAuliffe, was his campaign and MSNBC were joyously tweeting these pictures of these guys who showed up at a Youngkin campaign stop and said, hey, we're all in for Glenn. And they were dressed as white supremacists from the Charlotte scene in 2018. And they said, oh, this proves Youngkins are racist. These are his supporters. Well, it turns out they weren't his supporters at all. They were actually with the Virginia Democrat Party. So they were Democrats disguised as racists. Although one could argue,
holding the sunglasses and hats are their identities, but people were able to ferret out who they were.
And another one, and this is the one we're going to be largely talking about today, is the insurrection. I'm going to start calling it the insurrection hoax. I've been doing a lot of research on it.
False flag.
I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, the more you look into this, okay, the more that happens. The more that it appears, January 6th, Sandra, yeah, January 6th, the insurrection hoax, the more it appears that there were a lot of FBI agents and assets on the ground. Now, I've covered a lot of big events like that. And, you know, Chuck, it's not unusual to have undercover officers on scene, keeping an eye on things. But what it appears these guys were doing, there's clearly evidence it's beginning to show, they were actually FBI agents and assets or confidential informants who were actually instigating things and trying to make things worse. Now,
You're talking about in the former case, usually local law enforcement.
Right.
They're there and so forth. But the FBI has a tradition for, since back in the 60s and the Ku Klux Klan ones, of putting people in who are not just observing,
right,
but they were usually engaged in most of the criminal actions and were instigating them. And they're I think Glenn Greenwald has a list of 20 of those where that all happened.
Right. And I would refer you, because Revolver.News has done a great job of covering this by going through all the warrants. And I'll get into some of the specifics. But, you know, here's if we had any doubt that we were right, it's not been, I don't know what, settled, because the mainstream media is freaking out over Tucker Carlson's show coming up on Monday on Fox Nation, a three-part series documentary where he talks about essentially what was really going on January 6th and what was the role of the feds. We've got this week Congressman Representative Massey is asking Garland, how many feds were there?
I can't tell you.
And you know, what was their role? Can't tell you that either. So we're going to outline it for you, because I think it is so important, because soon, very soon, this is going to go the way of questioning the vaccine. It's going to go the way of ivermectin. It's going to go the way of the election. It's going to be banned. Anybody tries to talk about it, it's going to be banned. Now, this is from Sandra. I agree with you. I'm also concerned about the people they have in D.C. Gitmo, whoever is in control, exactly, is not letting attorney Republicans in to see them. Right. Because every time they do, Sandra, what happens is new information comes out as these criminal cases make their way through the court system in the discovery process. And yet they're like, well, that was an FBI agent. Well, that was an FBI agent. I mean,
it all happened in Michigan, the so-called militia thing to kidnap Governor Whitmer. And it turns out 12 of the 16 defendants were actually FBI agents and or
assets.
Assets, and they have proof that they got people to try to lie, to go to frame
and this people.
And the main agent behind it was arrested because he beat up his wife when she wouldn't cooperate in a swingers party that he went to with her.
But even as important as that, the guy who was running the field office in the Whitmer case, right, was an agent by the name of Stephen D'Antuono. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right. Well, guess what? Shortly after that went down, they moved him right before January 6th. They moved him to Washington, D.C. to run things there. So he was there for what I'm now calling, as I said, the insurrection host. I want to play a bunch of sound. Tucker Carlson has also, like I said, he's got this Monday series coming out.
We're going to have to actually get Fox Nation.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have to subscribe to Fox Nation. But he's been asking, as have a lot of conservative journalists, and I don't know that he'd call himself that, but I've been asking a lot of questions about what was the Fed's role. So, Thomas, this was before when some of the video came out about what actually happened at the Capitol on that day. So if we could please play the Tucker on Fed's video, Tom.
Showing a squad of people dressed in all black, systematically entering the Capitol and kicking open one of the exterior doors on the Senate side. These people appear to be well-trained and coordinated. They're not high on hallucinogenic mushrooms. The question is, who are they? And why don't we know their names? And why aren't they dressed like any of the other people in the footage that was just released? Remember, we are attacked for saying this, but we've already been vindicated for it. We still don't know how many federal agents were involved in the events that day on January 6th, but we have very good reason to believe from court documents that it's a significant number. And here's one clue. At a recent rally in Washington, the feds managed to arrest one of their own undercover agents. There were so many feds at the event that they lost track of each other and arrested one of them. So we ask once again, how many federal agents were there on January 6th?
And what was their role? And we're going to get into that here in a second, too. But again, you know he's over the target because the left-wing media, their heads are exploding over this.
Oh, they're going wild. The other documentary, if you want to call it that was put together was by George Stephanopoulos of ABC News called Out of the Shadows, in which they've run segments of it. And you can get the whole thing online, hour-plus thing. And it deals with resuscitating Steele.
Christopher Steele from the Russia hoax,
and resuscitating the dossier, which everyone it reads like it's just barroom gossip. Two, it is barroom gossip, and three, it's fraudulent.
Right.
And yet that doesn't stop ABC. And there has been some calls for George Stephanopoulos to apologize or whatever. But
right.
I mean, it's just a whole hour of garbage about the dossier. Well, it may not all be true, but you know.
But we're still going to report on it too.
Report, you know. Cohn was in Prague. Sure, he was. Oh, okay. It showed that he wasn't in Prague. He said he wasn't in Prague. His passport proves he wasn't.
They had the wrong guy. They had a different Michael Cohn.
Well, they'd gotten that from help from the CIA or
right.
whoever else.
Well, and so, was,
but they can go. Oh no, it still could be true.
Right. Well, and I agree with Sandra, who just said the January 6th commission is a farce. Of course, it's a farce. Because they have to protect their lies. The trouble is their lies are falling apart. But a CNN discussion, they kind of let the cat out of the bag. They were blasting Tucker Carlson for, quote, rewriting the script. And see, that's exactly what it is, guys. It's just a script. It's not the truth. They wrote it. The Democrat operatives wrote it. The media co-conspirators played it. They had big tech crack down on anyone, including us, who raised any kind of questions about it, because you had to follow not the truth, but their script. And the fact that they are freaking out so much, you're over the target. So, Thomas, let me play a little clip of the CNN meltdown, if we could, please.
When Fox's primetime host is going into full conspiracy theories, a rewriting of history around January 6th, this is recent history. And rewriting history is something typically, communist regimes engage in. It's a very dangerous use of that power in that pulpit. And it's part of a piece because there's an overall effort to rewrite history that we've seen members of Congress indulge in, and certainly Donald Trump with his repeated lies that the real insurrection was on Election Day, not January 6th. They are now party to this. They are responsible for this. And while the direct responsibility may fall on Tucker Carlson, the larger responsibility does fall on the people who own the company, the people who run the company. And many of them may view this as, look, well, that's not me. This is a business decision. And you can say that's the height of cynicism, which it is. But it's something worse because you're dealing with incredibly dangerous stuff with our democracy. And so it's not only on Murdoch to say, what's too far? What's the line? Stop rationalizing this as a business decision to play to a niche constituency that's being eaten at itself by the far right. What's too far for people like Paul Ryan, who said he cried?
Who's on the board, excuse me.
That's an important to point out. Because it is a question of what is too far. Where do you draw the line? If that line doesn't exist, then you're complicit.
It seems like it's the point, right? He's not allowing it. This is the point. The hate and the anger and the lies are the point. Why does Rupert Murdoch want to destroy America?
The anger and the anxiety is the point from getting a repeat audience perspective. That's one of the things the Facebook files has shown us, and I think we've seen engaging it happening over a long period of time. To appeal to a narrow but intense niche audience, you need to keep them addicted to anger, anxiety, and resentment. That has, to a large extent, been the business
play. Now, that's put aside the joke that CNN is complaining about trying to promote anger and anxiety over and over again. I mean, that's not even go there.
That is pretty funny.
But I know it's kind of like they have so no self-awareness. But I want to go over some, because I've been doing some research, some of the facts, okay? And this is facts from court documents in terms of, is this a lie? Because it's clearly not a lie. We have the New York Times article in September, on September, I think it was the 25th, quoting sources and documents. And they did this, they were trying to put a spin on it, but they were basically saying that a Proud Boy informant was texting in real time with his FBI handler all during this January 6th stuff, okay?
He was probably a foot away from him.
Well, yeah, and when they use the word informant, that's somebody who's actively working with the FBI, okay? So they had the FBI informant who's texting. He started working for the FBI back in July. So now you got to wonder, why would a Proud Boy guy suddenly become an informant? My suspicion, sometimes you get arrested for a crime and they say, tell us who your drug dealer is and we'll let you plea bargain. But the Proud Boy, there was no indication this guy had a criminal background. And why indeed, if he did, would they want to go after the Proud Boys? My suspicion is they inserted him at that point, that this wasn't somebody who was already a Proud Boy member who felt bad about what was going on and decided to try to get justice or truth or something like that. This was an FBI agent or asset, I think, planted with the Proud Boys back in July and who was with it and along the whole way texting the FBI handler. You can also put aside the questions of, why didn't the FBI do something more about it? Why didn't they call the Capitol Police? And again, because they didn't want to. We've seen the video of the police letting people in, right? And letting them in and people just wandering around.
Well, they had one of the Oath Keepers, and you can look this up on the internet. I didn't bring it with us for this thing, but he instructs how they tried to get in. They went to his door. They said, we want to talk to you about this. And why don't you become one of us? And he refused to do it. A couple of weeks later, he was arrested for the January 6th riot.
Right.
So, how they induced him to do it, by hook or by crook, and usually FBI does thing by crook. It's incredible.
Well, it's clear. So we have the New York Times itself acknowledging that there was at least one FBI informant. And in their own documents, they say there is evidence that there was at least another, and they acknowledge that there probably were many more. Okay. Now we know there were other informants who were there because there was a DEA agent who was off duty, who was arrested. Okay. And he said he was there at the request of his friend who was an FBI FBI informant, and he wanted him to help him take pictures and stuff like that, right? So we got, several now, we have these FBI informants. Then the other thing is some 600 people were arrested on a variety of crimes, all of which, of course, there's no evidence of guns, they didn't kill anyone, all of that stuff is just garbage.
Well, they got killed, or one did.
One, Ashley Babbitt. But what we do know from looking through the court documents And again, I refer you to Revolver.News has done a great job if you want to really get into the weeds on this. But there are 20-some people who are unindicted co-conspirators. Now, at the beginning of this, the mainstream media was trying to say, oh, they're unindicted co-conspirators because they're working on plea bargains. Well, that's not how it works. You don't plea bargain before you're indicted.
Then they cite some vague rule, which would be run over in a half second, and say, well, you can't call them unindicted co-conspirators because they can't be conspirators because they're working for the FBI. Oh, BS.
Right, right.
And they can call them anything they want to, and there are no rules for the FBI.
No, not anymore. So what we have, though, is some 600 people were arrested, you know, the FBI raiding their homes in the middle of the night.
Going to Alaska.
All this kind of hitting
the Department of Justice called the Shock and Awe campaign. Well, the Shock and Awe was used against Saddam Hussein in the invasion of Iraq, where they just slaughtered hundreds of thousands of people, maybe for a good cause, but we're doing shock and awe
on American citizens.
Oh, isn't that great?
Well, because it's all, again, part of the script that Tucker Carlson is trying to rewrite with the truth. But of this, so then there are 20 people who are mentioned in the court documents, and they're identified, they don't give their names as person one, person two, who were clearly, when you read through it, even more aggressive. They were the ones who were saying, hey, you know, remember, we got to be ready for action. And they were the ones who were organizing things. And yet they were at least, and in many cases, more aggressive, more insurrection-y than the people who were arrested, raising the question, why weren't they arrested? Well, I can tell you from years of covering this stuff, they're not arrested because they're either FBI agents or they're confidential informants. So you can't arrest your confidential informant or your FBI agent.
Well, of course you can, but then you have to figure out ways to get them out.
You have to get ways to get them out. Exactly.
And they do. I mean, in Glendale, you know, he got arrested and they had to figure out a way to get him out.
Well, and they make a big deal about it. So the Proud Boys, the guy who was the founder of the Proud Boys, Enrico Tarrio, and another big guy in the Proud Boys, Joseph Biggs, they have been longtime FBI informants. Okay, so he's an FBI informant, and coincidentally, Tarrio was prohibited by a judge on January 5th from being in Washington, D.C. I mean, you got to always. So we know that there are informants in these organizations. We know that, again, there were a couple dozen people who were instigators of things that happened that day who weren't arrested, and people who committed lesser offenses. Right, were arrested. So again, there's only one reason that they were not arrested, and that's because they were people and working with the FBI. And so that takes us to some events of this week where Representative Thomas Massie out of Kentucky did a great job grilling Merrick Garland on that. He pointed out that there was some guy by the name of Ray Epps, who was instigating things.
And he was well known of being one of the early members of the Oath Keepers and was the Arizona chapter president. So people go, well, you know, FBI informants don't use their real names. Well, if you're well known, you can't use another name.
If
everybody already knows who you are, you can't. Oh, I'm not Ray Epps. I'm Bob Johnson. Yeah, that's it.
And he played this videotape, and I think we'll play it. Not I think I know. We'll play it for you here too. But you just watch what this guy is doing, and then watch with the crowd. The crowd calls him out at the end. So Thomas, if we could play the Epps video, please.
I know. Get back tomorrow. Say it. All right. We need to go in to the Capitol. Let's go! So I'm going to put it out there. I'm probably going to go to jail for it. Tomorrow, we need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol. Peacefully. Fed. Peacefully. Okay, Bob. For everyone, as soon as the president's done speaking, we go to the Capitol.
And then there's more videotape, but they show him later at the barricades. He's having a conversation with the guy. They turn around and they back away, and then they breach the barricade, right?
Well, the guy had a long, extensive criminal history, and he obviously was either a stooge for the people or a willing the participant, but he had a long criminal record. He helped bake down the barricade. He's over other places putting huge signs of carrying him, put him over the police. And then,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that if a crowd on Friday night could identify that Ray Epps was a FBI
agent. Well, and you hear the people say, what? No, we don't want to go into the Capitol. No, we need to go into the Capitol. He, of course, does not go into the Capitol. Interestingly, and the Revolver.News again outlines this, what happens is, you know, the FBI put everybody's faces up, right? Operation Shock and Awe, they want to identify all of these people. And his picture is up there until Revolver.News started doing stories about him, right? And saying, what was this guy doing this for? Boom, his picture disappears. So not only was he not indicted, if you wanted to say inciting going into the Capitol, that's pretty, it doesn't get much more evident than that, right?
Giving instructions to somebody to rush the barricade.
Right, and telling people how to get to the Capitol and clearly over other people's protests saying, no, we need to go to the Capitol. Not only has he not been indicted, they're not looking for him anymore, which of course they know where to find him. So suddenly it's like, why aren't they going after him? Again, because he is one of their assets. That's the only explanation. And Thomas, if we could now play the final video, the Massey number one video, please. This is Representative Massey asking Garland about this.
With that, I was hoping today to give you an opportunity to put to rest the concerns that people have that there were federal agents or assets of the federal government present on January 5th and January 6th. Can you tell us, without talking about particular incidents or particular videos, how many agents or assets of the federal government were present on January 6th, whether they agitated to go into the Capitol, and if any of them did?
So I'm not going to violate this norm of the rule of law. I'm not going to comment on an investigation that's ongoing.
I mean, no, I'm not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. So it's clear.
Norm that we give away that we're actually.
And let me, a final piece of information that is alarming. There was actually an operation for this. The FBI called it Operation Cold Snap. Julie Kelly's done some good work with this. Basically, in the Whitmer case, the FBI Operation Cold Snap was targeting right-wing groups. So again, the head of the Detroit field office, who was running Operation Cold Snap, set up to target right-wing groups, okay, after the Whitmer case concluded, is then transferred to Washington, D.C., in between the time of the election and Biden being sworn in. So, and all of a sudden, that's when you start seeing all of this talk about right-wing militia groups. You see them calling them insurrectionists. You've got the mainstream corporate media trying to smack it down, any kind of conversation about this. And Tucker Carlson, I don't know what he's going to show in his documentary, but it is beyond hypocrisy that these people who have been promoting lies to us all of a sudden are like, oh, no, you can't rewrite their script.
Well, I mean, the head of the Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, apparently from the very beginning was an FBI
informant. Wasn't an FBI informant.
So for the whole time, the people running Proud Boys, the people running the Oath Keepers were FBI agents and informants. I mean, they never were right-wing groups. I mean, they just entice, you know, innocent people, which is what their want is, and try to get them involved in criminal activities so they can indict them.
Right.
I mean, there is no question that all these groups were really just formed and directed and run by the FBI.
You know, if you want to weigh in, 888-627-6008. We got the rest of the show to talk about this and anything else you want to talk about. 888-627-6008. We'll read your comments. And if you want to go ahead and if you're on Zoom and you want to comment, just go ahead and either raise your hand or unmute yourself. Let me read some of these. Sandra asked the exact question. And who assigned the FBI to infiltrate the January 6th insurrection? Demorats? Charlene, shock and awe is what we're all under right now. Beyond shock, the doctors are sexually transitioning children and all-out assault on civilization. And that's absolutely true. And Charlene said, I had a feeling it was I knew it was a false flag the day after it happened. Well, exactly, Charlene, because we've been watching them describe as peaceful protests, the Antifa rioters, right? As they burned down a city and nobody did anything. And then we saw what was going on at the Capitol. And all of a sudden, this is an insurrection more dangerous to the country than 9/11. You know, that's how you can tell somebody's a Twitter troll, right? When they just go crazy into the atmosphere. It's a similar thing. They started this. You know, I'm going to, Sandra, this is my guess on it, that it is worse than it was the Democrats. I think you look, I think it is the deep state. You look at all of the things that the FBI has been doing, the FBI signing and coming up, just the attack on President Trump. right? The fake FISA warrants, lying to the courts, opening an investigation into Trump because they didn't like him, because he threatened their world. You've got, you know, the Department of Justice, you've got the CIA, the intelligence communities, you have all of these people. And I think it's scarier than it's the Democrats, because if it were just the Democrats, we could vote them out, right? Right now, the Democrats, that's all. We can't talk about that either. Right now, the Democrats, you know, they're working for the Democrats. It works well, right? It's a partnership.
And the media and big tech.
And the media and big tech, because you know big tech is now going to start banning this. And that's why they want to be able to ban it. They want to call it insurrection. They want to say it's dangerous for the country. So then just like Facebook
dangerous
and YouTube.
To our democracy.
Right. Just like they have to, you know, prohibit anybody from talking about ivermectin, right? Because that's going to kill people.
Yeah.
They want to prevent anybody from talking about this. And it, again, it's it'll work to a certain extent. That's why I think it's crucial, among other things, that Donald Trump's social media platform get up and running. But we could go through, and maybe we could talk about that a little bit, some of the other things the FBI has done. I mean, this is, it's not even just political. It's just bureaucracy, power, and money, I think.
Well, you question whether the FBI has ever does anything. I mean, if they've got enough agents to try to track down parents at school boards across the country, they're unbusy enough to send 13 agents down to look at a poll loop because it sort of kind of looks like
a news at a NASCAR garage.
A NASCAR garage. 13 agents. I mean, to track that down. It's an agency that's out of control. I'm just, you know, from top to bottom, it's out of control. And they're part of the Justice Department, which is out of control. And you got a U.S. attorney who in Kentucky, who after Garland said his memo, got put together or had main justice put together, three pages of statutes you could indict people, parents on.
It is going to get worse. And that's why I think it is important. I don't mean to be a downer on this Party Friday, but they want to be able to arrest us. It starts off with just Facebook saying it's dangerous and YouTube saying we're banning you because it's dangerous and you're going to get people killed and la, la, la. I mean, with Geraldo Rivera, Tucker Carlson is out of control and people are going to die. And la, la, la. I mean, it's just Geraldo trying to be relevant, I think. But they
trying
want... Yeah, they're trying to use this, and then it's going to move into, okay, well, you know, you it's more than you just can't post on social media. You can't talk at your school board meeting.
No.
You can't, you express this view. So now we're going to come arrest you, like the people who were just exercising their First Amendment rights, whether you agree with them or not, who are still in jail in Washington, D.C. over what essentially, if it even gets charged, are going to be misdemeanor charges. Meanwhile, you've got a kid who shot at a school shooting. He's free. You've got Joe Biden saying, I don't even understand how this falls under gender equity, but you have to let people out on violent crimes, no cash bail, right? But if you're a conservative, if you're questioning their script, okay, then they're going to not just clamor you, they're not just going to cancel you. I think the end game is to put you in jail as a lesson to everybody else.
Well, they've already put lots of people in jail, and except real criminals. Luckily, they've freed up the jails. They won't have plenty of space to put parents and average citizens in because there's lots of room because they let out the burglars, the murderers, the rapists, and go all the way through. So it's an amazing process to watch a country really lose its bearing. And certainly the left, while it's screaming, you know, oh, they're killing our democracy. How are we killing democracy by demanding that you don't have fraudulent voters? Yes, that's killing them.
Well, or if Tucker Carlson, I mean, again, it is what they do. They just take something like, they know this Christopher Steele dossier was a lie. I mean, right. Everybody knows that. It's been acknowledged. Everybody knows that. We know, the New York Times even admitted, there were FBI informants and assets there on January 6th. We saw that Ray Epps guy clearly urging people to go into the Capitol. And you can see from the crowd reaction, they weren't thinking about going into the Capitol.
No,
they were like,
bad.
Hear them going, what? No, we don't want to go into the Capitol. We're here to hear Donald Trump. But he was one of probably many people, I suspect, many people who was there to do that. And then they continue the lie of the narrative. They continue, what did I read? It was talking about 9 people died after January, who are at the camp on January 6th have died. It's like clearly implying that they were killed by the people who, the Donald Trump supporters there. I mean, which is, they know that's not true, and yet they report it anyway.
It's an amazing deal. And it's just going to get worse. But I think heads are going to explode when that three-part series comes out. If that, they'll do anything to try to stop that. And they're begging Paul Ryan and the Murdochs and everybody else, don't let the truth out.
No.
Ye God, don't let the truth out. In January, our January 6th false flag one has been our best since
our insurrection hoax. Yeah, we've been great with that. Yeah. Even though most Americans actually don't even care, really. Most Americans have seen the video or have moved on, and they're actually way more worried about grocery prices and things like that. But again, you got to think, what is going on at the FBI that they think the Whitmer case is just one of many examples? So 12 of the people who were in this move to kidnap her, and by the way, they talked in there, they had FBI assets pushing them to storm the capital of Michigan. Right? Similar kind
same
of
thing.
Same thing, really. 12 of the 18 people were 16 were FBI agents or FBI informants. So without the
Saturday Night Live had a big joke where he goes, you're under arrest, I'm FBI. Well, no, you're not. I'm FBI.
No, and it's like, so what's going on with an agency where they can, and as you said, we've seen it and you've been talking about it for a while, going on after 9/11 with people, so they'll find some guy who's got a Muslim sounding name, not even Muslim sounding really, but sitting home in his basement, and they start, he maybe Googles jihad or something like that, then boom, they start sending him information, they start saying, hey, you want to make a bomb, I'll help you make a bomb.
Here's a bomb,
and the guy could even go, I don't want to make a bomb, and then they say, well, come look at it, and he does, and then boom, they arrest him. Like literally, that kind of thing has happened. And yet then they ignore other things, right? They ignore the guy, the doctor who was sexually assaulting all of those gymnasts.
Nasser,
right. It's not, and that's not incompetence. They knew it and they ignored it.
Well, no, they ignored it, but they pretended they were, they told the families they were investigating, getting to the bottom of it when they're doing no such thing.
Chuck and I did this story with serial killer Scott Lee Kimball here in Colorado, where the FBI knew that Scott Lee Kimball was a serial killer and did nothing about it. They were just using him as an informant in drug cases. They had the family members come and they lied to the family members. The family members said, we think he was involved. And they're like, no.
We have.
I mean, so we know the FBI does that. And you got to be... I think we just all have to be aware that this is an agency. And I'm sorry, Sean Hannity, it's not just the 90% of them are good men and women. No, this is an agency that is totally corrupt, that feels as if it can do whatever it wants, whenever it wants. It can target anyone who asks questions. I think they're not targeting white supremacists or right-wing groups because they think they're white supremacists. They're targeting right-wing groups because we're the people asking questions and they want to shut us up.
And he can be black and conservative, and they'll try to shut you up too.
Right.
Sandra asks, you can read it because you got the glasses.
Okay, don't mean to change the subject, but do we see the video of the Kentucky high school where some of the high school kids were giving lap dances to the administrators and teachers? It was sick. Another subject to talk about at some point. Our schools are outright crazy. Yeah, and it was boy students too. So I'm not sure what that was all about. It was.
Well, what it was all about is a boy in a dress or a slip, and he was. Even another partially clothed women. And this guy was the principal of the school as well as the mayor of the town. And so that's a level of just disgustingness that our schools have become.
But you're right, the dogs. But you're right, Sandra. I mean, we've been talking about that for a while to do a whole story on the sexualization of our children and what that's all about and why all of a sudden, as Tucker Carlson asks, is the transgender community running the country. Right. I mean, it's like, how did that happen? And how do we get our common sense back? But this is, so if you don't mind, we can, again, 888-627-6008. Wanted to also talk about, since it is Party Friday, another Chuck is Right.
That's just so tiresome.
Actually, it is tiresome. It's annoying. It's annoying sometimes. I don't even argue with him. I don't know if you guys saw this story out of Racine, Wisconsin. Again, keep in mind, election fraud is a hoax. We have gold standard elections in this country. You're a liar and you're going to go to jail and you're dangerous, promoting dangerous information if you question the election. Well, turns out to be not the case. Do you want to explain it or do you want me to?
No, I will. The sheriff investigated about nursing homes. As we brought up numerous times, that here in Colorado. They go to nursing homes, get Alzheimer's patients to do it, to vote. Last time, you see, you have to have one Republican, one Democrat. They did away with that. And so the staff of these nursing homes would just vote for these Alzheimer patients. So in Racine, Wisconsin, the sheriff investigated it and he recommended criminal charges be brought against the Wisconsin Electoral Commission because they changed the rules to allow the voting, and I'm sure it's the staff at the House that have been paid get out the vote.
Right.
To have at least seven people who had no mental capacity to fill out a ballot or know who they are for or anything else who voted. He recommended they be indicted. And the commission called an urgent meeting.
Well, you and Chuck has been saying that for a while. And
I've been saying that for a long
years,
time.
And people say, no, that doesn't happen. So what happened here is it came out because one of the family members of one of the women who had voted said she found out that her mother, her 92-year-old mother, had voted. And she said, my mother doesn't even recognize me. My mother and my mother's blind. She said, there's no way my mother legitimately voted. She's not capable of it.
Right.
So they started looking into it and they found that this was a nursing home where typically like one or two people would vote. But this time, because they had people go in to get their votes, to ballot harvest, they had like 40 or something like that, a significant number. And in addition, what they found is where normally maybe zero or at the most three people, and this is going back not decades, but years and years, would ask for mail-in ballot. In this case, they had all kinds of people ask for mail-in ballots. And they found, again, with investigating, they found significant number of the people. The family members said, no, they couldn't have legitimately voted. I mean, they are incapable of making a decision like that. They're not physically capable. They're not mentally capable.
So this is just one nursing home in one state. It certainly happens here in Colorado, I'm told. And it certainly happens. It's a technique the Democrats have to rig elections. But we have the gold standard here in Colorado. And so what do you think will happen in Racine? Nothing.
Well, and here's from Sandra. I believe there are quite a few stories that show this is happening quite a lot. There are, Sandra, and this is why, and it all ties together. This is why people like George Soros are so eager to fund local sheriff races, local election clerk races, local attorney general races.
Zuckerberg plants Democratic operatives with his own money into electoral offices in order to run Democratic
operations.
Right.
That's great. Sheriff Reams in Weld County discovered something like that had happened in Weld County, right? Well, now he's got to go to Attorney General, Weiser, who's a Democrat operative himself.
Well, he could go to the local DA, but who knows who that is?
Well, that's why they fund those. That's why they fund that. Yeah. So you're right. So, I mean, what will happen is probably nothing. And again, anyone who reports it's going to be labeled as fake news. You're going to be shut down. You can't question it. And that's the thing. You know when they're lying, when you're not even allowed to ask questions.
If they do this, what else do you think they do?
Exactly. If they would have an agent instigating a riot at the Capitol, if they would lie to a judge to get warrants to spy on a sitting president because they didn't like him, there is no end, I think, to what they would do. If they would imprison without bail people who are exercising their First Amendment right at the Capitol because they didn't like their political views or they felt threatened, I mean, there is no end, I think, to what they wouldn't do.
Yeah, there is no end to what they wouldn't do. And then they can say they're destroying our democracy, the democracy of dementia patients in old age homes. And it's just, they really are evil people. There's no other way to describe these people except as evil.
And then they
believe that the Republicans are trying to destroy our democracy, our very special democracy.
Well, you're right. You're rewriting that script, Chuck, and you can't rewrite the script. They worked very hard on that script with the Hollywood producers too. Yeah. So there's that kind of thing going on. And again, you try to talk to somebody about election issues And if they're on the left side, they're just, all they do is they just keep stomping their foot. It's like, you know, I would never, of course, do this, but sometimes if you're in an argument with your husband, he's turning out to be correct. Mm-hmm. If you just stomp it and say, you just don't understand my feelings, or something that has nothing to do with it. It's like that. You're, they just, boring. They're, yeah, exactly. You stomp your foot and then they say, you stomp your foot and they say, you're a lie. It's a lie. It's a big lie. It's a big lie. You're a radical. You're a white supremacist. You're racist. That's what you are. You're racist, by God. So.
So the other thing I wanted to kind of go over for a second is, over the last few days, Peter's mentioned my name quite a few times.
Peter Boyles at KNUS.
At KNUS, who we're friends with, and good friends with, but certainly these days we do not agree with politically. About John Eastman. I represent John Eastman along with Randy Corcoran and his firm.
John Eastman was one of Trump's lawyers.
Was Trump's lawyer and has come into enormous hot water.
Fake hot water. Yeah,
I mean that he says one thing in the privately and then another, which is BS. And you know, he had a memorandum they only quoted part of, and they don't actually.
They're trying to make him be an insurrectionist too.
Yeah, yeah, and call him for the January 6th commission and stuff. But Peter noted, he said, "I don't know if I still believed in the big lie."
Oh, they can't hear you. Got it. We're not. This mic isn't working. So
oh, okay. He wasn't sure if I still believe in the big lie. I mean, it's coming out more and more the election was rigged, not less and less, as evidenced by the Racine sheriff. But then he said, you know, I had offered to have him debate Eastman, which is absolutely true. And I told him, I said, look, you know, we need money to be able to file this lawsuit against CU. You can take half the money, keep it yourself, or give it to whoever you want, to whoever charities you want. You can give it to Antifa, or you can give it to Black Lives Matter. If you, and it's a great embrace that I would suggest.
Or keep it yourself.
Yeah, keep it yourself. And he declined, said, no, I don't want to do that. Now he says, well, maybe I'd do that now. You know, kind of like, you didn't have the courage to do it then. Why don't you? Why should anybody believe you if you want to do it now? I mean, you should have said, hey, I'd be happy to debate. If you can arrange it, get the mayor of Glendale to be the moderator, we could have great old debate. But John Eastman, he indicates on the air that John Eastman has been found more guilty, and of course it's just the opposite. He's found less guilty of anything, but they, you know, they can't stand anything that stands up for Trump.
Right. Well, exactly. And again, they have to quash it. And if you followed any of that John Eastman stuff, what they're saying is that he was citing the insurrection, he was planning the coup. And that's not true. I mean, we've actually talked to John Eastman about it. He was, as Trump's lawyer, explaining what legal options there were. He wasn't saying you should do this. And he was saying, if there is evidence that comes up, here is what your options are. He wasn't saying, I've seen the evidence, I have the evidence, I'm planting the evidence, nothing like that. But again, you have to learn to listen closely to some of the things that they're saying and what they're not saying. And anytime they just are like, lie, Tucker Carlson, we haven't even seen his show, and we're already saying he's destroying America, and Rupert right. Murdoch, you know, needs to be stopped. And I don't know why they're dragging Rupert. So it's a similar, well, why Rupert Murdoch, do you think?
Well, they're trying to get the Murdochs they control the corporation. To squash the show.
Yes. Well, oh, and Sandra said, yes, Peter and his sidekick, Billy, both did. And Dr. Donna, I don't mind saying, there's a medical doctor that advertises on her show. Her name, she's with Cenegenix, Cenegenix. And if you just Google Denver Cenegenix, it's Dr. Julie McCallum.
Yeah, I
don't have her number here. I do. Mm-hmm. Oh, hang on. Everyone else who wants it. 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681 is the phone number for Dr. Julie McCallum. She's great. We love her. We love her.
Tell her
you heard her about it on us. So I think, you know, with Peter, he is, and I don't.
You want to spell Cindy Jackson?
Cenegenix. Cenegenix.
It's X.
It's X. But anyway, back. My doorbell is ringing. It's UPS. It's Amazon. I have to admit
it's
it.
It's the feds.
It's the feds. That's right. They're coming to get our show. Yeah. They didn't waste any time on that. They didn't waste any time on that. Hey, and another thing, I have news. Chuck, I haven't really talked to you about this.
Oh, okay,
sure. And I'm stealing this, I have to confess, from the conservative mama. Chuck and I are going to be moving to Mexico. We're going to move down there, stay with my cousin for a while. And then we're going to come back illegally. And so we won't have to get a vaccine. And also we can get that $450,000.
It's up to $1 million now.
It's up to $1 million now. So we can get $1 million.
That's why we're coming in the country.
That's right. That's right. So that's what we're going to do. So yeah, we'll still do the, I'm kidding, of course. We'll still do the show. But can you believe that? It's just when you think things can't get more crazy. And it's like the Biden administration is deliberately trying to sink itself too. It's like with everything else going around. Okay. So they're treating parents as domestic terrorists. Hunter is, you know, that's why Biden was talking to the Pope. I read a tweet. He's trying to convince him to let Hunter repaint the Sistine Chapel and stuff like that.
Updated.
Yeah. Well, Hunter has, he has a lot of experience with naked figures and naked women. So at any rate, no, I lost where I was going with it. Oh, so they've got all this other stuff going on. You've got the border crisis. It's not a crisis. It's a supply chain. Even Apple and Amazon are saying, guys, we just want to prepare you. We may not be able to get stuff. And so then he says, I know what will make people happy. I'm going to suggest that I give $1 million now, $1 million to illegal immigrants who came into the country illegally, who felt that they were traumatized by the experience. And it's like, so how many of them do you think, let's say, okay, if you're an illegal immigrant and you were feeling traumatized, raise your hand, right? If there's $1 million on the table. And that's just say, you're one of those thousands of people coming in the caravan from Mexico with the QR codes. I mean, who organized that? And they're like, guys, we can go. If we're traumatized, we can get $1 million. Now, meanwhile, if you're a military person who has served in the American military and you don't want to get the vaccine for religious, health, or just whatever reasons, you're going to be fired and lose all of your benefits, right? And I mean, it's just, it's outrageous what they're going through. And, you know, somebody was saying, oh, they would never do that.
No,
and I'm like,
no.
Sure they will. I mean, what makes us think they wouldn't do that? You know, you need to leap forward. I mean, what makes us think they wouldn't do that?
Right. Unbelievable. So that, and Tuesday, if Youngkin pulls it out and they can't steal enough, they hired Mark Ellis. Everybody said, well, that was to bring litigation, Elias. Bring litigation afterward, but the conservative treehouse, I think correctly said, is to put up legal barriers to stop people from questioning the ballot harvesting. I think that's exactly what he's hired for, not to argue about things after the election, but to justify and to armor plate their crooked ballot harvesting.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, do you want to say, did they steal it? And I've been saying for a while, I think that the question is, did they rig it? And Molly Hemingway has that great book out, Rigged, in which she explains exactly how they rigged it, like in Racine, how they rigged it. And Racine is, previously, you couldn't have these people go into the nursing homes,
right?
Now, keep in mind, this is also going on at a time where if you were a family member and your parent was dying, you couldn't go into the nursing home.
You couldn't
go see your loved one. But the Election Commission changed the rules specifically to allow people to go into the nursing homes. And again, you've got the money coming in from Zuckerberg and other Democrat operatives to find the people to go do it. Now, Republicans, we got to wake up that this is going on, right? We got to either stop it or start doing it.
We got the gold standard here, and they did the exact same thing they did in Racine and other places. I mean, it's just disgusting how our Republican Party just says, oh, this, you know, the Colorado Republican Party is, I tell you, it's in pretty sad shape.
Well,
at times.
But you're fighting. We're fighting. Hopefully, Chuck won't be redistricted out of it.
I will be redistricted. Well, I mean, that's a foregone conclusion.
Let's see this from Charlene, New York. Back to the vaccine. New York union workers are coming out against the vaccine mandates. I saw that a federal judge, I thought, issued an injunction saying that they couldn't kick out people from the military who had claimed a religious exemption. You've got a ton of New York police and fire people. I think their deadline is tonight, who are saying we're not getting the vaccine. You've got Randy Corcoran, who's filed a lawsuit on behalf of Denver police, saying they shouldn't be forced to get the vaccine.
Randy's show should be a good one. Tomorrow, I think he's also, because he was prominently mentioned on Peter's show, so I think he's going to get his side of it, which should be interesting.
And then the whole John Eastman thing. And then finally, on Party Friday, this isn't really a party topic, but it's gossipy. I wanted to give you, I'm going to make a prediction because Chuck is always right. He was the one who was talking about all the nursing home election stuff. I'm going to predict on the Rust shooting. So I was thinking about this and I'm like, okay, I'm the DA. What's the politically safe thing for the DA to do? You know, if she says, look, I'm not going to charge anyone, everyone's going to holler at her, right? On the other hand, you don't want to overcharge people because then everybody's going to holler at you from the other side. I predict what she's going to do is take the whole thing to a grand jury. Now, she's going to direct how the grand jury goes. I predict that Alex Baldwin, the armor woman, and then the assistant director are all going to be indicted on some kind of something. And I think that there will be criminal charges. I think she's not going to do it herself. That would be, and I don't know her, so maybe I'm slandering her. But in my experience, a lot of DAs would not make that move themselves. They would take it to a grand jury.
Grand juries are not a safety net. They're supposed to be a safety net for citizens, not a safety net for DAs, but they can. The old saying goes, you can die to a ham sandwich. So wherever, however she wants them to do, she can make them do usually.
Right, that's right. And then as Sandra said, and then reduced sentences. Okay, this from just a couple of comments here, because I love reading these. I was redistricted out, so does Chuck have a candidate for a state? Does a candidate for a state have to live in their district by Tuesday if they want to run next year? But I don't know.
I think that's right, but I'm not sure.
Unless it's congressional district, right? You can like...
Yeah, congressional district, you could live in the state. But other than that,
So state house, I think you do have to live in that district. I don't know what the time limit is on that, Donna. I'm not sure. But anyway, back to my prediction then, I suspect that there will be a grand jury on that and that there will be criminal indictments handed down. And I suspect if I can figure that out, all of them can figure it out, and their lawyers certainly could figure it out. So I think that everyone's going to quit talking to them pretty quick.
Let the lawyers do the talking. All right, everybody, it's end of our show and time to really get out there and party, which we certainly will plan to do. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Remember, you can catch all of the shows at chuckandjulie.com. You can subscribe to us, get the newsletter. If you want to be a patron, which we truly appreciate all of you who do that, you can do that by going to our show link at BBS Radio at bbsradio.com. Thank you to everybody listening.
Thank you.
Thank you to Thomas, TJ, and the great guys at BBS.
And we'll see you Monday.
See you Monday.